The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Helen McEntee, a Minister for Justice, is on the line. Minister, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. Changes to the Children's Act, they went through the Seanad today. This will allow for people to be named in certain cases in court where children are killed or the victim of a crime and that child has died. Can you explain where we are at that?
So look, thankfully we've passed all stages of the Dáil and the Seanad, and I really want to thank everyone, all of my colleagues who have worked with me, in particular Senator McDowell and O'Callaghan. This has been a collective effort. We gave a very clear commitment at the end of last year after the High Court ruling, where it emerged that essentially a child who was deceased, who had been murdered, could not be named publicly, and the knock-on impact that that was having for their family, their friends and others. We gave a commitment to change that. So today it has passed all stages in the Dáil and the Seanad. It will now go to the President for signing. So he will hopefully sign it in the next 7 days or perhaps sooner. It will then come to me to sign a commencement order. So at the very latest, these changes will come into effect on the 3rd of May.
Okay, so by the 3rd of May anyway, at the very latest, as you said, that kind of anomaly, I suppose, should have been sorted. Most people will welcome it, I'm sure. Listen, can I ask you about a couple of other issues, including some within your own bailiwick? And this criticism from some quarters that the government have been involved in the clandestine outlawing of mass in this country.
Well, look, I obviously heard some of the commentary over the weekend. And first thing that I would say is simply what's happened in the last week is that we have moved to amend or adjust some technical issues that have arisen as we have moved to open up our society more. So thankfully, in the last few weeks, we have removed the 5 kilometre limit. It means that people are able to move around for more than just exercise or to go to the shop to get food. But there was, I suppose, a slight glitch that needed to be amended to make sure that we still essentially prohibited large gatherings. So whether it was large gatherings of younger people outdoors in a park, whether it was people meeting in a community hall, or indeed people meeting in a church, while we're making significant progress, we're not quite at the stage where we can have these large gatherings, and that unfortunately includes mass. So, you know, we were simply rectifying something that needed to be rectified in the regulations this week. It's not to single out the church or anybody who wants to go to mass to worship. That is still very much allowed, and I would 100% protect people's rights to be able to worship and to say prayer. But unfortunately, we're not at a situation where large gatherings, be it in a church, as I said, or outdoors or anywhere else, can take place. So the changes that maybe were referred to in the last few days were simply changes to regulation to make sure that applied to every single setting and scenario.
Is it not that equating of young people in a park or people going into a community hall with people worshipping, given the sanctity of worship in this country, it's enshrined in the Constitution, those freedoms? It is not that equivocation between both that annoys people?
Well, I think, unfortunately, COVID-19 doesn't differentiate or distinguish whether you're in a park, whether you're in a county hall, whether you're in a home where you have a large gathering of people. We know that this virus spreads much more quickly where you're indoors, where there are large groups of people, and that is why those measures are currently in place. Of course, as we move to ease restrictions, and people will know in the last week, we've had probably some of the most positive reports and responses from NPHET, that the figures are moving down. And we hope to be in a position in the coming weeks to start easing restrictions. And one of the first ones that we'll see in the next week is the increase in numbers of those allowed to attend mass. And that includes indoors. So this is, you know, not to specifically single out any one particular type of gathering. It simply is the fact that COVID-19, as a virus, spreads more easily among larger groups of people indoors. And while we're trying to get these numbers down even further, those regulations are in place. But I 100% support people's right to be able to pray. There is that option is still available for people to go into the church on their own to say their prayer themselves. But obviously the large gatherings, until we ease the restrictions, will continue to apply.
Yeah, most churches can accommodate, though, mass without necessarily people congregating close together. Is it that you don't trust parish priests to be able to do that?
No, that's absolutely not the case. And you could apply the same logic if you were to to look at the Three Arena or any other large type of setting where you could space people out. It's simply that we know, as we're trying to reduce the overall numbers, that this virus still transmits more easily where you have large gatherings and where it's indoors. Now, in saying that, we're obviously getting towards a point in the next few weeks where we hope to be able to allow these type of gatherings, albeit in a, you know, a phased basis, starting with smaller numbers, increasing them, to start meeting indoors, you know, socially distancing, making sure they're wearing masks, making sure we're sanitizing and washing our hands and keeping our distance. We hope to see all of that reintroduced in the coming weeks and months, and that will apply in a church, that will apply in other types of settings as well. So again, I cannot stress enough, this is not singling out any one group of people. This is not saying that, you know, any one group is more important or less than the other. This is simply stating the facts of how this virus is transmitted, and I suppose the fact that we still have a little bit of a way to go before we start to see those large gatherings. But of course, that's where we all want to get to.
In Northern Ireland today, the booking portal on the NHS for people aged between 35 and 39 has opened, which means I think I could book my vaccine. I don't think you could quite book your vaccine yet. I could book my vaccine in Northern Ireland. That means that they're in a position, of course, to start making some of those decisions a little quicker than us about resuming some services. How concerned are you about aspects of the economy being open in the north but still closed in the south?
Well, we've had that at some stages throughout the last year. I would say that we have, for the most part, tried to be as in sync and parallel with our restrictions as that in Northern Ireland. We've worked very closely, our Department of Health, our Chief Medical Officers, PS&I within Garda Síochána, and even our border management units within the airport. Yes, they are, I would say, a number of weeks ahead of us in terms of their vaccination, but I think we are very closely behind them. As we see, we have over 1.2 million or 1.1 million vaccinations have been completed to date. We have 850,000 ready for this month. We'll have, I think, 1.1 for the month of May and 1.4 for the month of June. So, you know, while it might seem as though Northern Ireland and perhaps the UK are further ahead of us, by the end of June, we hope to have 80% of adults with their first dose. And we've seen very clearly with the evidence internationally that the first dose in itself still provides a huge amount of protection. So I think people have been very good in responding to where there have been different regulations in place. I think people, that's the reason why we've seen our numbers come down, because people have responded to the regulations that are here. And I think, you know, if we could ask people to continue in that vein for the next few weeks, while our numbers of vaccinations increase and while we start to open our economy and our society.
Well, on that, on asking people to, I suppose, abide by the measures that exist in the south rather than across the border, Daniel McCrossan owns Daniel Anthony Hair Salon in Enniskillen in Fermanagh, and he was speaking to Andrea Gilligan, my colleague, on Lunchtime Live earlier today to say they're getting plenty of bookings from across the border for when they reopen later in the week. Take a quick listen.
Well, basically, we would have within a 20-mile radius, so you'd have clients from within that 20-mile radius. We had quite a few clients from across the border, so Cavan, Drexel, Donegal, and some from Sligo as well, who maybe have make the trip to off the shopping and one thing or the other to the local stores, one thing, and then they make it a day's out and do, and they would also book the hair appointments. Previous to this, so we had had quite a percentage of Southern customers. In the last 3 to 4 weeks, we've had more of an influx. So people have got slightly confused with the opening in England and Wales, Scotland, to ourselves. So the phone has been ringing, say, from the 1st of April, really, with people from the south looking to get appointments.
Could you hazard a guess at all, Daniel, roughly? I mean, how many calls have you had, or how many customers or clients have you booked in for the next couple of weeks, people travelling from the south to the north to get their hair done?
I would say maybe the region of 20% of our clientele would be from the south. I'm not too sure of numbers at this stage, Joe, but quite a few MOs existing clients, Joe, over a period of time. So there's been, I would say, maybe an extra 5% or so maybe within the last couple of weeks, Joe, would you say, new clientele that have been looking to get in.
Yeah, that's Daniel McCrossan. He owns a hair salon in Fermanagh. Look, Fermanagh's too far away for me to go and get my hair cut, but I was living in Black Lyon in County Cavan. Fermanagh Enniskillen in Fermanagh is within 20k of my home. Am I entitled to go there for a haircut?
Well, what I would say is, firstly, we hope to have in the next few weeks, whether it's retail but personal services like hairdressers, barbers, beauty salons, all of these types of services open so that people will be able to access them here. Yeah. We've asked people, obviously, to stick within the guidelines and the restrictions where they are living.
But they're not breaking any. Like, are they? If someone's, like I said, living in Black Lyon, they can travel anywhere they want in Cavan, and 20k from their home. 20k from their home includes Enniskillen. So they're perfectly entitled to be in Enniskillen. And if the hairdressers are open in Enniskillen, they're allowed to get their hair cut, aren't they? They're not breaking any rules.
Well, look, these are decisions that people will have to take themselves, and I suppose people have to weigh up the risk. We've asked people, obviously, to adhere to the regulations that exist in this country, and we've asked people to take responsibility, essentially. And obviously there are regulations and there are fines that have been issued where people have gone outside of those. But it is because
this wouldn't be an offence that you could be fined for, could it?
Well, again,
you're entitled to be in Enniskillen if it's within 20k of where you live.
Yes, you are. So look, I mean, that is the case. And if it's within 20 kilometres, and the reason that we set the 20 kilometres as opposed to just the county boundary is because you have people who live very close to a border, whether it's the shop or whether it's, you know, as you've just outlined, a personal service that they can travel to. So, you know, I don't think there's going to be anybody prosecuted or fined for doing that. But I would ask people to obviously consider the risk and to take responsibility if that is something that they're going to do. You know, because obviously this doesn't apply to absolutely everybody, those who don't live within the 20 kilometres or don't live within the border region. You know, it is difficult where you have different restrictions on the same island and where things are moving at a different pace. But we do hope to be in a position where in a matter of weeks, and your speaker there said that in the next few weeks they have bookings, we hope that in a matter of weeks, people will be able to book haircuts, will be able to get their colour done, will be able to get their nails, will be able to do all of the things that they're dying to do, I think, and everybody is looking forward to. And they'll be able to do that, you know, without any rules or restrictions as well. So it is complex. It is challenging where you have different rules on the island.
So I take it then for that period in between where the rules and regulations are different on both sides of the border because of, again, the person I'm talking about, this imaginary person, maybe we'll talk about Nevin Maguire when we're talking about Black Lyon or something to make it easier, in Cavan. I assume there's not going to be a policing operation then along the border to prevent people travelling because of that 20K rule. People are entitled.
People are entitled, but they, you know, people will see the Gardaí moving around and in different places. You're more likely to see checks at county boundaries than you would have within the county in the last while. But, you know, again, people are entitled to travel 20 kilometres outside of their home. And obviously, for some people, that will mean being able to travel into the north as well. And you know, we're not going to stop people, and the Gardaí are not going to be stopping people in that.
Okay. Before I let you go, when we're talking about the North, should Ireland consider rejoining the Commonwealth?
Do you know, I think as part of this conversation, absolutely nothing should be taken off the table. I mean, whether we're talking about the Commonwealth, whether we're talking about the Irish language, whether we're talking about president or, you know, our flag or national anthem, as part of this conversation, I think we need to keep everything on the table. But whether or not we're ready for these conversations or whether or not we're at the point of having this conversation, I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure we're there yet. But, you know, my colleague, obviously, over the weekend, Neil Richmond, published a detailed paper looking at the possible options and the ways in which this might transpire over the coming years. You know, that conversation is happening to a certain extent, but moving towards setting dates and talking about a united Ireland.
Right.
We've seen what's happening in the north. I think what's most important now is that we bring all sides around the table that are cool and calm heads, and that, you know, we try and make sure that we take the heat out of what's happening currently.
Minister for Justice Helen McEntee. Minister, thanks a million for joining us here on The Hard Shoulder.